for national development, and that consolidation GDP growth. And if we continue to behave ourselves and behave well, we see further growth on the GDP. Let's continue to do the right thing, and then so that our economy can grow and we achieve on the reduction of poverty, creation of employment, and bridging of inequality that is affecting our society. The intention of this briefing is to share information on the overall expenditure performance of departments so that the committee will thereafter decide on key issues that will need to be incorporated in its oversight program going forward. So this information is very, very important, and it is to Treasury, and it is of significance to us. It also assists us in identifying those departments that need attention, and then we then carry on with our work with those departments. So I am looking forward to a fruitful and robust engagement on this very important briefing, and I'd like to thank all of you once more for coming, but feel free to participate. This is our meeting. Thank you very much. I will then move on to item number 2, which is apology.
Good morning, Chairperson, honourable members and guests. We received apologies from Mr. Alan McLaughlin. He's attending the Auditor General Standing Committee meeting. And then we also have an apology from Ms. Nplanguini. Ms. Nimana is still on sick leave. And then there's a standing apology from Mr. Mayneer. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chair. Chair, I've got another meeting on health. I think it's community participation, so I may have to run out to that meeting.
Okay.
That's starting at 10 to 2, which is what I'm going to run maybe. I'll just see how it's going, but maybe at about 11 I might have to run.
Okay. No, that's fine. Thank you very much. And honorable members, they are the apologies. Do you accept the apologies? Honourable Member Chobaza, supported by Honourable Member Snubanyan. Thank you. Shall we then zoom straight on to the presentation by National Treasury? We're talking the first quarter spending outcome of 2017-18. Sorry,
Chair, before we go on with this, I'd like to, it's not part of this presentation, but today I'm aware of that. I know we are waiting from Treasury a report when they appeared before us in terms of the integrated financial management system, and they were supposed to have sent us some documentation. I'd like to know what is the latest on that, whether they are giving us a good receive it, or what is the situation in that. And now that there are further developments in that matter as well in terms of SIPs. Thank you.
Okay. To be honest, I have received also... Well, I spoke to, I think it's the gentleman responsible for this, who said to me they were not ready with that report because in our last meeting we had said they must bring the audited, you remember, not audited, forensic audit report.
Yes.
So they don't have that report yet. So that's what was communicated to me. But let's hand over to Treasury and hear what Treasury has to say. How long do we have to wait for this report?
Good morning, members. I'm Julie de Bruin, the acting DDG Public Finance. And my colleagues are with me today. They will come a little bit later. So honourable members will get a report as requested on the IFMS on the 2016-17 financial and non-financial information. The jobs fund, or as we call it, the employment creation facilitation fund, outcome 16-17 financial, non-financial, And then the committee also requested payments in 30 days, as well as issues in the OCBO. So all of them are here today. They'll come after me. So I want to, because I was the committee, remember, I work for the committee. They the National Treasury. If you get what I mean, Mr. Babasa. Remember the last time when I came, the committee asked me about the IMS.
Yeah.
That's not my responsibility. There's somebody and they are here today. So all the questions about the forensic audit, all of that, ma'am, you'll get it from them. So I don't know how you want to divide the time. I've got four things I need to tell you today, besides the quarter one. So I don't know if you want to go through all of that. Let me just tell you what I have, and then you can decide, besides this report, what else do you want. We were asked to give you a trend analysis of the spending 2015-16, 2014-15, and 2013-14 that I have. We were asked to give you public entity quarterly reporting. I want to explain to the committee what the issues are there and we can make some decisions together about what you want. You also asked me to talk a bit about the HRBP plan, which I will speak to in this presentation as well. And you also asked me to report back on the when we did the budget last year, we mentioned that we were looking at closing, merging public entities, and you wanted to report back on that. So I've got all of that information. Plus the colleagues will come for the IFMS, the jobs fund, the payment in 30 days. And we only have, just 2.5 hours. So I'm happy to pay the year. I mean, so if you think that maybe that's more important, then some of my stuff you can leave over. But what I'd really like to take the committee through, if you want to know my preference, is the first quarter and the issues on the public entity.
Okay.
I'm sorry to do this, Chair, but I don't know whether I'm being misunderstood or interpreted. My understanding is they did bring a report here. The report that they brought to us was doctored. It did not have the information that appeared all over the world in terms of the media and everywhere else. So we said to them, no, if that can go to the media and everywhere else, bring us that with the relevant information, specific information, with the names, details on it. That is the first thing we've asked them to bring to us, and they have not done that. Now, my problem is, you know, we've got Treasury appearing before us a whole lot of time ago. We're not waiting for the forensic report. That is another issue altogether. The report that was released to the media and everywhere, which they said they had. But remember, Chair, what they did is, they blocked off all that information and they did not want us to read it. Yet it's public knowledge. So that's why we said they must bring it through to us. That's the first thing. And then it is now for the new issue in terms of SIPs, where 25 million rand has been spent irregularly and what in my view, wasteful expenditure. So that is a concern I have, Chair.
Okay. Indeed, in guiding this meeting, I want us to say, I'm happy that you raised this so that we don't forget about it. Okay? But we must then say, can this one come so that we can debate it and get done with it. But for now, when we invited Treasury, in terms of the Section 32 report of the TFMA, but then we also asked for added information, which is what, by the way, ma'am, you are?
Julia.
Which is what Julia said they had, all these other added information. Now, what we will have to decide upon as the committee is, I know that today our focus is the report, Section 32 report, but then what do we do with the added information? Depending on availability of time, we might ask that they present. But if we don't have time, because it's Friday, I know other people already have flights and they really would want to, you know, not to miss those flights. We can then also decide on whether, if we don't have time, they circulate the documents. These are documents that we can still use in our oversight function because we wanted this information so that we can use it and make an impact in our oversight function.
Yes.
So, depending on the availability of time, I just want to check with members, do we agree on the approach? We focus on the work for today, but then we also ask for the added information or additional information. So, depending on time, we can continue with the presentations, but if we do not have time, this information, I promise you, will not be lost. It can be circulated, we can still use it as we do our work. So please guide me on that one so that we don't spend time just agreeing on the approach. Already we are eating into our time.
Yeah.
Mm. Honourable Member Govan.
Just quickly, Jefferson, there are two things here, Jefferson. You're correct on on what is before us now in terms of our problem. Let's take that information and run with it today. And if in the course of reporting there are certain things that are related to the integrated financial management systems, because it's ongoing project and it affects the 2017-18 budget, let it be reported going forward.
Okay.
That's one part, so that we don't divert. What Honorable Sheikh Imam is saying is that National Treasury is spilling this thing into the media, and
yeah,
they are not spilling it to Parliament, where they should be reporting.
Yeah.
Let them spill the papers here, all of them, so that by the time we arrive at the forensic investigation,
yeah,
we have detailed knowledge of what has happened since 2005,
okay,
to the time when they complete the forensic,
okay,
investigation. Whether they do it in the form of a meeting, and maybe it would be correct to say, let that information come to the committee in writing. We will read it ourselves, make sense of it. When we call them in a formal meeting, we will have gone through all of what they are spilling into the media.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Honorable Imam.
Yes, Chair, I think I must agree with my colleague. I don't think we're going to have the time for that today. In any case, they have not given us the documentation. And my proposal will be that we set a specific day for that meeting to deal with that, together with the new development in terms of SIPs that has come up and hit the media again, which is bringing us into disrepute, so they can give us both reports and set a specific day to discuss that. I'll be appreciated. Thank you.
Agreed. On a specific date for this, for the report on integrated management financial system. Is it IFM, integrated financial management system? I must say it. Okay. Yeah, no, that's fine. But thank you so much. I'm happy that we've agreed now on this one, on the approach on this system. And then I know that we then have got to agree on the other documents that they have to present to this meeting. Shall we focus on this one? I just need your a consensus. Yeah. And thereafter, if there's time, you will then present. Yeah. But if there's no time, you will circulate, because I've seen the entity's report. Yeah. And then, that information will still be able to use ourselves in our work. Okay. Thank you very much. Shall we then hand over to Mr. Brain to take us through the presentation? I don't know whether you are the one who's going to.
Yes, I'm the one who's going to talk now.
The presentation section.
Thank you, Chair. I have with me Dr. Mark Fletcher today. He will talk specifically to the Health and Social Development Department. So the contents of the presentation will cover as normal overall observations about the appropriations as a whole. You asked for a specific focus on personnel, so a little bit on that. And then, as the committee is aware, there are six chief directors in public finance, and we group the departments accordingly, and that is how I will go through them. I will do five, and Mark will do health and social development. So just on the overall observations for the first quarter, the 2017 Appropriation Act allocates roughly 765 billion rand to national departments for the 2017-18 financial year. And as agreed the last time I was here, we exclude Parliament from our analysis because Parliament does not submit any quarterly reports to the National Treasury. They have their own financial oversight. At the end of the first quarter, national departments in total had spent 166 billion or 21.7% of total expenditure. This 166 billion was 8.7 billion or 5% less than what was projected to be spent. So what they projected was 174, but they only spent 166. When I was here the last time, the committee asked me specifically to put it in those terms so that you can either look at the percent or the amount and then decide whether you thought it was significant or not. If we break that expenditure, that 166, down by economic classification, and I've given you the main categories there, compensation is slightly overspent. So roughly about 673 million or 1.8%. Goods and services is underspent by 2.7 billion or 18%. Transfers and subsidies is also underspent by 5.3 billion or 4.5%. But the main problem, as this committee knows from all the times we've come to present here, is payment for capital assets. Is underspent by 1.3 billion and that is 37%. So in terms of national department expenditure, the one that most departments who have capital budgets, always in the first quarter the spending is rather slow and it picks up towards the second and third quarter. So just a high level overview of which departments are on which side of the divide. So the departments that have spent less than their projected expenditure by a fairly significant amount, either in rand or percentage, includes rural development and land reform by 1.2 billion or 43.7%. Correctional services is under by 1.1 billion or 18.3%. Social development by 1 billion or 2.5%. Water and sanitation by 814.5 million or 26.4%, science and technology by 705.7 million or 33%, environmental affairs by 605.6 million or 36.5%, cooperative governance and traditional affairs by 385 million or 29.8%, energy by 331.5 million or 13.5%, and international relations and cooperation by 311 million or 18.3%. So those were the top ones on the underspending side. Departments that have spent above their projected expenditure include defense and military veterans, and they over by 413.8 million or 3.8%, and then there's home affairs over by 300.6 million or 18.2%. Looking a bit more in detail at personnel, the total appropriation for compensation of employees in 2017-18 is about 150 billion, and this excludes the direct charges of the salaries of the president, the deputy president, and then all the money that gets paid to the judiciary. So an amount of 37.4 billion has been spent on personnel by the end of the first quarter, and that's roughly 24.9% of total compensation of employees' expenditure, which is more or less what we expect, that a quarterly expenditure would be close to 25%. This is slightly more than projected, and it's more by 673 million or 1.8%. And when you look at the human resource budget plan submitted by departments, they said that the headcount by the end of the financial year would be 410,570 people, but the actual headcount for the end of the first quarter is 412,091 people. So in order to get within the budget ceiling, across national departments, they would still have to reduce the number of people by 1,521. So just some background here, the committee will remember, we put a compensation of employees ceiling for each of the national departments, and in the Appropriation Act, it is marked as specifically and exclusively. In other words, only another Act of Parliament can change that amount. So in the adjustments budget, you will, when you go through that later when we bring the MTBDS and the adjusted E&E, there will be quite a number of departments who either want to increase COE or want to decrease COE, and the committee will have to deliberate on that. This is the first time, as far as I can remember, that national departments have been required to reduce personnel numbers. Provinces have done this. They did it in the early 90s, late 90s. They also did it in the early 2000s. So this is the first time that national departments have been asked to do this. And so I also have the full list of the HRVPs that were in the big budget document. So the committee can look through what departments are saying, how they intend to go from, you know, let's say 400 employees to 388 over the period. So just because this is the first quarter and it's the first time that they've had to do it, some departments are further ahead than others. Some say no, that it's impossible for them to do. And so we're working with them trying to find a way to actually get into the compensation of employee ceiling. So this is one of the things, ma'am, you will recall, if you overspend on COE and there's a ceiling, that is not allowed in terms of the DSMA. So departments have to work hard to keep in the ceiling. So looking at the departments that have spent significantly more than projected on COE for the first quarter, it's police, and they have spent more by 412.9 million. Defence and military veterans by 320.2 million. Higher education and training by 69.4 million. Stats South Africa by 27.4 million and health by 23 million. Then on the other side, we also got departments that have spent less than projected COE, and that is the Department of Labour by 38.89 million, Correctional Services by 35.6 million, and Rural Development by 26.45 million. So going on to the actual first quarter expenditure as a whole across the groupings, in administrative services, there are roughly 10 or 11 departments. I will only focus on the ones where the spending is a lot less. So for example, communications, as you can see, they've got 334 against 335. There's no need to explain the 1 million. So the presidency, in program 2 of the presidency, they spent 3.5 million less than the projected expenditure of 11.2, and that's quite a large percentage, 68.4% and equivalent to 7.7 million, and that's mainly due to outstanding invoices from the State Information Technology Agency, SITA, relating to the e-cabinet project that they're running. In Home Affairs, in Program 1, they spent 495 million of the projected spending of 476. So in other words, here they're higher than what they projected by 4%, equivalent to 19 million. And these is related to payments made to the state law advisors for invoices and lease payments made to DPW relating to the previous financial year, which they had not budgeted for in the current financial year. So you will see that one then. And I mean, that may be something that the committee may also want to look at, is the problematic process of getting invoices from the Department of Public Works. and the timing thereof. You'll see in a lot of departments this issue of late invoicing comes up all the time. So it may be worth the committee asking DPW what the issue is there and how they can expedite that. In Program 2 of Home Affairs, they spent 1.2 billion of the projected 903 million, again higher than expected spending of 30.9%, equivalent to 279 million. And this is mainly due to the self-financing allocation, which is only appropriated in the adjustment budget and therefore is only available in December and January, while the expenditure is incurred as of April. So this one is, remember, the Department of Home Affairs will charge you for a passport, charge you for an ID document. So they will have already spent that money. But the amount that they collect, they have to pay into the National Revenue Fund, and only an appropriation can put the money back to the department. So this one's not really slow spending, it's just a timing matter for the department. And also in that program, payments to the government, printing works for production costs for their enabling documents. In Vote 6, the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, in Program 1, they spent 229.6 million of the projected expenditure of 362.9, lower than expected by 36.7%, or roughly 153 million. And here it is outstanding final payment certificates relating to Lilongwe and Dar es Salaam projects. So there they are having construction in terms of their indices, as well as outstanding invoices for some ICT projects. Then in programs 2 and 3 together, they spent 997.5 million of the projected 1.2 billion. Lower by 13.8% to 159 million, and this was mainly due to a less volatile foreign exchange rate, which has positively impacted on planned expenditure on foreign currency denominated expenses, such as cost of living allowances for transferred officials serving abroad, salaries and related benefits paid to locally recruited personnel, operating leases and foreign municipal charges for offices and residential accommodation, as well as education allowances in both programs. So DIRCO has that problem. When the exchange rate works with them, then they underspend. And if the exchange rate works against them, then they overspend. So if we look at the 3 years expenditure, when the committee has time to look at that, they had overspending, and then the exchange rate was against them. So in this first quarter, the exchange rate has worked somewhat in their favor. On the National Treasury Vault in Program 1, they spent 88 million of the projected expenditure of 103.9, lower than expected by 15%, or equivalent to 15.6. And here's the first one, outstanding invoices from DPW for office accommodation. In Program 5, they spent 192 million of a projected spending of 276.5, lower by 30.1%, equivalent to 83 million, due to lower payments on audit fees, as well as delayed payments on the ISMS project. In Program 7, they spent 1.7 million of a projected spending of 965, so lower by 3.5% to 33.4 million, mainly due to fewer injury on duty claims by civil servants. And in Program 8, they spent 207.6 million of a projected spending of 261, so lower by 20.5%, equivalent to 53.7 million, mainly due to transfers for the Municipal Finance Improvement Program not being processed as a result of delays in the evaluation and adjudication of bids due to difficulties in identifying and appointing municipal advisors with the requisite skills. Then Vote 8, Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. In Program 1, they spent 30 million of a projected spending of 40 million, lower than expected by about 24%, equivalent to 9.9 million. And that's due to delays in implementing the revised organizational structure of the department, as well as slow spending on computer service, operating leases, and property payments owing to the delays in the planned relocation to new premises. And then in Program 5, they spent 9.3 of the projected spending of 13.8, lower by 32%, equivalent to 4.5 million, and that's mainly due to outstanding CETA invoices for the presidential hotline. And then the last vote in this grouping is public service and administration. In Program 1, they spent 39.8 million of a projected spending of 61, so lower by 35%, which is equivalent to 21 million rand. And here, a slightly different version of the invoices from DPW. Non-payment of rental and maintenance costs for the department's office accommodation due to a dispute with DPW on the cost, as well as delayed invoices for cleaning services and computer services. Then in Program 3, they spent 15.5 million of the projected 19 million, lower by 18.7%, equivalent to 3.6 million, mainly as a result of delayed invoicing by the Human Sciences Research Council in relation to service rendered to the Presidential Remuneration Review Commission. Oh, sorry, and I have Public Works in this list. You can see this is not my chief directorate. Sorry about that. In the Department of Public Works, spending, they spent 101.5 million against a projected expenditure of 121.7 million, underspending by 16.6%, roughly equal to 20.2 million rand, mainly due to delays in filling vacant posts, and the fact that the value of invoices received was lower than what had been projected for goods and services for all those items. And that is also evident in Program 3 and 5. SAS South Africa, good grief, there's more in this one than I thought. Yeah, no, there's four women after this. Sorry. So for vote 12, SAS South Africa, in Program 1, they spent 130.4 million of the projected spending of 164 at the end of the first quarter. Lower than expected by 20.6%, equivalent to 33.8 million, mainly due to the non-payment of the unitary fees for the building, due to a dispute with a private party on incomplete items on their building. And in Program 5, they spent 43 million of a projected spending of 59.1 million, so lower by 27.3%, equivalent to 16 million, mainly due to accrued payments for computer services due to invoice disputes with CETA. So in fact, CETA is another one that's also coming up in terms of invoicing and disputes between them and departments. And then lastly, the Department of Women, vote 30. In Program 1, they spent 18.4 million of a projected expenditure of 23 million, lower than expected by 20.2%, equivalent to 4.6 million. Delayed invoices from the Department of Public Works for office accommodation, delays in the renewal of a contract for procuring a new departmental vehicle, cancellation of a PA system, intercom due to plans to relocate, as well as delays in procuring the antivirus management software. Then in Program 2, they spent 21.4 million of the projected expenditure of 24.3, lower by 11.8%, equivalent to 2.9 million, mainly due to the postponement of projects such as all of those there to the second quarter of 2017-18. So education and related departments, which is my chief director, there are five departments. And I will speak to all of them. So basic education, in Program 2, they spent 102.5 million against a projected expenditure of 249.9 million, so slower by 59%, equivalent to 147.4 million, mainly due to delays in making final payments for the Harikuri mass literacy campaign, as verification and validation process was still being completed. And then the department withheld the first transfer of 24.4 million of the learners with profound intellectual disabilities grant to provinces, as provincial plans had not yet been approved. The plans have been approved and the funds were actually transferred in July, with the spending only goes up to the end of June. And in program four, I mean, the committee doesn't, if I've said this to the committee once, I think I've said it probably about 8 times. Program four is where the ACD project is. So spending 4 billion of the projected spending of 4.7 billion by the end of the first quarter, lower than expected by 13.8%, equivalent to 643 million. And this is slow spending on the school infrastructure backlogs grant. They only spent 124 of the projected 732 for quarter one, so in actual fact lower by 83%. And this is due to poor performance by some implementing agents, the difficulty in replacing these underperforming implementing agents, and delays in finalizing the merging and rationalizations of schools in the Eastern Cape province. In higher education and training, in program 3, they spent 22 billion of the 22.4 billion, so lower than expected spending by 2%, equivalent to 442 million rand. And this is due to delays in the payment of infrastructure grants to universities, as these payments are based on submissions from universities and not all of them were received. And those that were received, not all of them were processed. Then in program 6, they spent 526.6 million of the projected 447.4 million, so higher than expected spending of about 10.9%, equivalent to 51.9 million, mainly due to the delays in the payments of claims of markers, examination and moderators for the November exam at community education and training colleges, as many claims were received late. So they in fact pay last year's claims in this year, which is not how it should be. And this seems to be a perennial problem. So in fact we've suggested to them that they should plan to pay the people as the process actually works, because otherwise they're going to have this problem all the time. As I say, this issue has been raised numerous times with the department, but it remains unaddressed. In the Department of Labour, in Program 1, they spent 174 million of the projected expenditure of 201 million, lower by 13%, roughly equal to 26.9 million. And this is delay in filling Post-Lab regional offices, and again delayed invoicing by CETA for computer services and by DPW for office accommodation. In Program 2, they spent 111 million of the projected 131, lower by about 15%, equivalent to 20 million rand, and this is due to vacant labour inspector posts. The department actually struggles to attract and retain labour inspectors as they are offered higher salaries in the private sector. So even when you look at the underspending on those 3 years in the sheet that you will get later, you will see that Department of Labour is one of the departments that underspend on COE on a perennial basis, and this is one of the main reasons. We have suggested to them that maybe they should regrade these labour inspectors so that they're more on par with salaries in the private sector, but that may be a little bit more complicated than just meets the eye. Then lastly, in Program 3, they spent 73.9 million of the projected 140.9 million, so slower by 47.5%, equivalent to 67 million, and this is mainly due to delays in the signing of service level agreements with the supported employment enterprises, work centres for the disabled, which was only finalised in early July, and delays in submission claims for the admin costs of injury on duty claims
by the compensation fund. In both 37 Arts and Culture, in Program 1, they spent 47.9 million of the projected spending of 63 by the end of the first quarter, lower by 24%, or equivalent to 15 million. Delays in the payment for state-owned accommodation, and they are responsible for paying the accommodation for all the museums and playhouses that report to them. And here they have a problem with DPW because DPW cannot provide the detailed billing, and there's no exemption in the devolution framework to pay on a flat rate. So they have to actually receive every single invoice before they can pay. So in Program 2, they spent 44 million of the projected spending of 74, lowered by 40.6%, equivalent to 30 million, mainly due to a contractual dispute between the department and DPW on the charges for projects at the National Archives that DPW is undertaking on their behalf. In Program 3, they spent 247.5 million of the projected expenditure of 356, lower by 22.9% to 81 million, mainly due to late receipt of registration certificates from beneficiaries of the Mzansi Golden Economy project and delayed payments for capital work projects at performing arts institutions who still have outstanding business plans. And then lastly in this grouping is sport and recreation. In Program 4, they spent 10 million of the projected spending of 25, lower by 61% or 15 million because the transfer to the sport trust that was not made as the service level agreement with the trust had not yet been finalized. And in Program 5, they spent 3.4 million of the projected expenditure of 5.3 million, lower by 36%, equivalent to 1.9 million because newly created costs for the oversight of the Municipal Infrastructure Grant funded sport infrastructure projects are still being funded. So I'll give over to Mark to do health and social development, and then I'll pick up on the rest of it.
Good morning, honorable chair members. I'll talk briefly to health and social development. The next slide 23 shows slight underspending on these two departments. Going on to health, so program 3 spent 4.5 out of 4.6 billion. Program 3 is the HIV AIDS program, which is an 86.9 million underspending, or 1.9%. Most of that is in delayed transfers to non-governmental organizations for HIV/AIDS, which will be made once the SLAs have been finalized. This problem of late payments to NGOs is a problem in health, both in health and particularly in social development. And it's quite difficult for the NGOs when the funds come through very late. And it's something that probably in your oversight meetings with those departments stress that they should engage much earlier in the year so that the payments go much earlier. On program 5, they spent, this is the hospitals program, so they spent 5 billion out of 5.2, which is an underspending of 174 million, or 3.3%. And this, Chairperson, is the indirect revitalization program. This is like the CD program in education where the national department builds facilities on behalf of the provinces. And there's always quite a lot of problems when this happens, where national department is built in four provinces. So this has been a problem since the inception of this indirect grant in health. You can see here already in the first quarter, 174 million underspending. And there's limited capacity in the national department to evaluate this, finalize the contracts, all these projects in this component. And there's a bit of a question going forward, Chairperson, whether how long we should keep this indirect component for national to be building on behalf of the provinces. Program 6 is the transfers to public entities, and here there's an overspending, which is really just a technical overspending because they made the payments for the second quarter, they paid them a day earlier. So I'm not going to go into this yet, it's a technical issue. Social development, on the next slide, slide 25, it's not on your slide, it's the main program you're probably interested in is program 2 on social grants, which typically has underspending at the end of the year. And here in program 2, there's about a 200 million underspending by the end of the first quarter, mainly due to variabilities in the child support grants. The child support grant numbers go up by about 30,000 a month, up or down by 30,000. A lot of irregularity there, something you may want to talk to the department about. Program 3 is actually a technicality. This is the transfer to SASSA. So this program 3 spent 1.2 billion out of 1.7 billion, which appears to be a 505 million underspend. But this is actually just a technicality with the interface of the payment, and this will be corrected in the second quarter. So I don't think it's worthy of much focus. Program 4, which is for social welfare services, it spent 143 million out of a projected spending of 390 million, which is an underspending of 246 million, or 63.2%. This is mainly in delays for the transfers for the social work students, who then go through to the Department for Employment through the social worker employment grant. So there's delays in transfers to provinces on this grant, and also to NSFAS in its transfers for these students. And also some delays in paying national bodies for welfare services. These are issues you might want to take up with it when you meet with the Department for Social Development. Those are those two departments, Chair. I'll hand back to you to go on to the next cluster.
Thanks, Mark. The next cluster is protection services. And again, we will only talk to the ones where the underspending is larger, so not IFED and not the Office of the Chief Justice. So starting with correctional services in Program 1, they spent 893 million of the projected expenditure of 983 million, lower by 9.2%, equivalent to 90 million rand, mainly due to funded paper positions as well as delays in making payments for computer services and outsourced services arising from delays in capturing the supplier details and budget on the upgraded financial system. In Program 2, they spent 2.8 billion of the projected 3.7 billion, lower by 24%, equivalent roughly to 881 million. Underspending on goods and services ascribed to property payments, operating leases and contractors, and payments for capital assets, resulting in delays in receiving invoices for repairs, maintenance and municipal services, both from the IDT and the Department of Public Works. Program 3, they spent 365 million of the projected spending of 437, lower by 16.5%, equivalent to 72 million, mainly due to funded vacant positions and delays in the delivery of clothing material by the service provider. In defense and military veterans, in Program 1, they spent 1.3 billion of projected expenditure of 1.2, so that's higher by 3.7%, equivalent to 46.8 million, mainly due to settling of the 2016-17 invoices from public works in the current financial year. In Program 3, they spent 4.1 billion of the projected 3.9 billion, again higher than expected, by 4.9%, equivalent to 193.5 million, and mainly due to the deployment of reserve forces to perform guard services for the military academy and personnel services schools, as well as a higher cost for rations. In Program 6, they spent 1.2 billion of the projected spending of 1 billion, indicating higher than expected spending of 13.8%, equivalent to 141.9 million, mainly due to medical outsourcing and the replenishment of medical stock in hospitals and sick bay and payments for overtime to medical doctors. In Program 8, they spent 1.3 billion of the projected spending of 1.2 billion, again higher than expected spending of 18.6, equivalent to 102 million, mainly due to payment for vocational training services provided by Cuban contractors in terms of the contract signed between South Africa and Cuba. In Boat 21, Justice and Constitutional Development, in Program 1, they spent 381 million of the projected expenditure of 521, indicating a lower
an expected spending of 27%, equivalent to 140 million, mainly due to disputed invoices received from Public Works for office accommodation. In Program 2, they spent 1.6 billion of the projected spending of 1.8, lower by 10%, equivalent to 188 million, mainly due to late submission of invoices for buildings and other fixed structures by the IDT and Public Works. And in Program 3, they spent 266 million of the projected spending of 294, lower by 9.5%, equivalent to 28 million, mainly due to vacancies in the State Attorney's Office and in the Information Regulator. Then the next grouping is quite a large grouping, since it also has about 10 departments in economic services. And so we'll go through the significant ones, so not like economic development or public enterprises. Environmental affairs. In Program 3, they spent 55.8 million of the projected 171, so lower by 68.5%, equivalent to 121.5 million, mainly due to compliance issues with the Central Supplier Database with respect to the CSD Certificate of African Marine Solutions Group Pty Limited, which was not correct on the CSD system and therefore payments could not be processed. In Program 6, they spent 507 million of the projected spending of 872, so lower by 41.8% or 365 million, mainly due to protracted contract negotiations with implementing agents on the expanded public works program. And in Program 7, they spent only 20 million of the projected spending of 102 million, so lower by 82%, equivalent to 92 million, mainly due to a delayed implementation by the new Waste Management Bureau sub-program in reducing waste through recycling. The department is in the process of finalizing the new tire waste recycling business case for the services providers. Spending is expected to start later in the financial year. Science and technology spent 287 in Program 2, 287 million of the projected spending of 309, so slower by 7.2% or 22 million, and that is mainly due to delayed payments towards the International Center for Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology because of delays in signing the service level agreements. In Program 4, they spent 641 of 1.2 billion, so slower than expected by 47%, equivalent to 547.8 million, mainly due to delayed transfers to the National Research Foundation, as the department and the National Research Foundation are currently in the process of consolidating all 50 contracts on various aspects, such as infrastructure and research, into a maximum of 8 contracts, and so that spending will flow later in the year. In the Department of Trade and Industry, Program 6 spent 558 million of the projected 1.4 billion, so lower than expected by 59%, equivalent to 808 million, mainly due to lower spending on the incentive program. And that includes the critical infrastructure program, the manufacturing development incentive, the services sector development incentive, and the special economic zones. And these arise from outstanding compliance documentation required for the processing of claims, as well as claims that were non-compliant with the guidelines for respective incentive programs. So rural development and land reform was one of the, I think that was the biggest understanding, yeah, both in terms of percent as well as amount. And so we'll get to the bottom of that here. In Program 1, they spent 308 of 499 million, so slower by 38%, equivalent to 191 million, mainly due to delays in filling vacant posts, as well as delays in the renewal of the Oracle software license. in program 3. They spent 244 of 361 million, so lower by 32%, equivalent to 116. And here is mainly due to delayed transfers to households for bulk irrigation water due to batch 5 version conversion. That includes recapturing of projects on batch. So just a technical issue there. However, the household invoices will be paid in quarter 2 and will include payment of the Ebenezer bulk irrigation water contract, which was on hold for re-evaluation of the project as per a court order. Then the bulk of the underspending here in rural and land, rural development land reform is in program 4, where they only spent 289 million of a projected expenditure of 1.1 billion. So slower by 72%, equivalent to 459 million rand. And this is mainly due to the lengthy verification processes that have to be adhered to in order to ascertain the rightful owners before land claims can be paid out. And I think this is a constant problem for rural and land development through no fault of their own. Then the last cluster is urban development and infrastructure. There are 6 departments here, and we'll focus on the ones where the underspending is quite significant. So starting with Vote 4, Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. In Program 3, they spent 58 million of a projected expenditure of 92. So slower by about 36% or 33 million, and that's mainly on lower spending on the Municipal Systems Improvement Grant as a result of delays in procuring service providers. This grant, the MSIG, is an indirect grant, and so that means it's paid directly from National, and there were also delays in claims from the South African Cities Network as well as the South African Local Government Association. In Program 5, they spent 23.8 million of the projected expenditure of 118 million, so lower by 79.9%, equivalent to 94 million, mainly due to delayed transfer to the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, MISA, as a result of awaiting finalization of the operational performance agreement between the department and MISA. Program 6, spent 741 million of the projected expenditure of 921 million at the end of the first quarter, so lower by 19.6%, equivalent to 180.5 million, mainly due to decreased demand by communities to participate in the Community Works Program. Energy, in Program 6, spent 82.8 million of the projected spending of 414 million, lower by 80%, equivalent to 352 million, mainly due to delays in the implementation of non-grid projects. So those are projects that are not going on the Eskom grid, and invoices for the solar water diesel program that were not received as expected in quarter 1. In water and sanitation, in Program 3, they spent 1.7 billion of the projected 2.4 billion, so slower than expected by 29%, equivalent to 708 million, mainly due to funds not transferred to the water trading entity, the Kumasi Water Basin Authority, Ungaini Water Board, and Amatola Water Board, as the departments and the entities did not finalize agreements that stipulate performance criteria before the funds are able to flow. In some cases, performance milestones have not been achieved, resulting in the delay of the transfer. And that is it.
Honorable members, you have just been listening to a presentation from National Treasury on the first quarter of 2017-18 report. Now,
you want us to continue the presentation, and then all the presentations, I mean the second one, and then maybe we then embark on the education. Shall we do that?
Yes.
Okay. Please proceed with the, yeah, the report on the entity.
Okay, so if the committee will seem to recall last time when we were here, I think we were here as a whole group when Donda was still the DDG, the chair wanted also to get a sense of what public entity spending is looking like. So we started that process, and what I want to present to the committee today is the issues that we are discovering in the court's reporting on the one hand, and then to get the committee's guidance on the other hand, because you'll see they're not like departments, so they will present us with a different set of issues. And once we decide, once the committee decides what they want, then we can go for the meeting. Okay, so the purpose of this presentation is firstly to inform the committee of issues relating to reporting on the quarterly expenditure of public entities, and then secondly to request the committee to choose the public entities it wishes to receive reports on for quarter two of 2017-18, as well as to confirm the contents of that report. So in the presentation, I will talk to the types of public entities. Then I will also go through the largest 20 public entities, either by receipts, or by expenditure, or by assets, or by transfers, or by surpluses, or by deficits, just to give the committee a sense of the different kinds. And then I want to talk a bit about challenges in reporting on public entity expenditure. Then, us as Public Finance, we've made a suggestion on which public entities we think should be analysed, but of course the committee makes the final choice. And then I just want to show you what the format of a public entity expenditure report looks like. And this is, ma'am, it's quite a different ballgame. So it may even require that the committee says, no, we want a whole day workshop on this before we go.
Yeah.
But the committee can work, you can see as I present. So the types of entities that are listed in the PFMA are found in Schedule 1. Those are the constitutional entities, like the public protectors there, PAN South is there, the IEC is there. Then there are entities listed in Schedule 2, which we refer to as major public entities, like ESCOM, Transnet. Then in Schedule 3, there are four kinds of entities. There's 3A, Part A, those are national government public entities, so that would be like the museums, playhouses, NSFAS, the compensation fund, the UIF. Then you get Part B, which are national government business enterprises, so like PRASA, the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa. Then Part C is provincial public entities, like the Eastern Cape Parks and Tourism Agency. And then Part D are provincial business enterprises, like the Itala Development Finance Corporation. And they group like that because they've got different requirements. So the ones that are of our concern would be Schedule 1, Schedule 2, and Schedule 3, A and B, because provincial treasuries would take care of Part C and Part D. So there are 203 national public entities. And I've, in the things that I will give to Darren, is the full list, so the committee can see exactly which ones are where. Schedule 1, remember that's the public protector, etc. There are 9 of them. Schedule 2, those are the ESCOM ones, there are 21 of those. Schedule 3B, there are 19 of those, and the bulk of the national public entities are Schedule 3A. And those are the ones that we have focused on. Schedule 1, like the public protector, the IEC, they report directly to Parliament. So in terms of providing information, they also don't provide information to the National Treasury. Schedule 2, which are the business enterprises like ESCOM, they report to the Department of Public Enterprises. So there is a whole department focusing on them. They also report to the National Treasury via our Assets and Liability Management section. Schedule 3B is a combination of Assets and Liability Management in the Treasury and Public Finance, but the 3As are the ones where we have the most focus. So here comes the first issue that makes them different from departments, is the financing and funding of public entities comes through three channels. You can either get appropriations, user charges, or levies. And I just use an example here. Some will have user charges and appropriations, others will have levies and user charges, others will have user charges and appropriations. So the best ones, if you want to understand how they work, and I take them one at a time, is the UIF. So the Unemployment Insurance Fund doesn't receive any appropriations. It gets funded from a 1% levy on employees and a 1% levy on employers, and that is how they get their funds. So completely different to a department. Then you get some like SANRA, which I'm also going to use as an example later, where they've got a combination of user charges and appropriations. So the user charges in SANRA would be the toll fees. So the way they fund the toll roads is by charging toll fees and putting that money back. And for the roads that are not tolled, they get an appropriation from by the fiscus. And then there's some like I just used the Nelson Mandela Museum, they get almost 99% of their receipts as an appropriation. They may charge entrance fees, but generally museums tend to be free. So because of the different ways of getting the funding and financing, that also represents a complication for when one wants to look at a quarterly spending. So just to give the committee a flavor, we took the largest 20 Schedule 3 entities. As I said, we're not focusing on ones and the ESCOMs, so we're just looking at the other 154, and we used the 2015-16 audited figures. You can see in terms of receipts, there are some very large ones, like the Road Accident Fund, the Unemployment Insurance Fund, PRASA, and SANRAL and Rand Water. Well, let's just stop at SANRAL. Those are quite significant, so that's 31 billion, 22 billion, 22 billion, 15. And then it goes all the way down to FENSEC at 1.3 billion. So if we want to look at some, maybe we go by who's got the biggest receipts. On the other hand, you could also look at who has the biggest expenditure. And it makes sense that there will be more or less the same people. If you get in a lot of money, you'll normally spend a lot of money. So again, you've got the Road Accident Fund, SANRAL is up there, PRASA is up there, Rand Water, SARS is up there, NSFAS. So pretty much almost the same lot that is on the receipts are also in the expenditure side. So maybe that's a better way to decide which ones we want to look at first. if we look at surplus and deficits, now this is not a concept that departments have. Departments don't have surpluses and deficits. They either spend, underspend or overspend and you deal with it. Whereas entities are allowed, in the terms of the PSMA, to have operating surpluses which they keep. They're not allowed to budget for the deficit without treasury approval. And so if you look at, let's look at who's got the largest operating surpluses, then the unemployment insurance fund is there, the compensation fund is there, PRASA is there again, road accident fund is there. But then there's some other ones that we haven't seen on the previous slides, like the National Skills Fund. I'm just looking, there's some other CETAs there. There are even CIPRO, the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, ran a surplus in that year. And it's not always that they run a surplus, so you can go 1 year you may have a surplus, the next year you may be breaking even, the next year you may have a deficit. So maybe surplus is not useful, but the committee can think about that. On the deficit side, these are ones that at that, in that year, had budgeted for the deficit. Sunrail is there, and that one we would know because they were expecting to get in a lot of e-toll money, and they didn't. So the others look more or less, are not that large. And I think you've had Dwyer here to explain about the water. Water boards, rain water. There are a couple of CETAs in there as well. And even the South African Revenue Service in that year had a deficit. So maybe that's a good, we also want to look at those. Then we put down transfers received. And again, it's pretty much the same ones that have got the huge receipts, have also got the huge transfers. Yeah, there's not really any new ones in that top 20 there. Then in assets, so this is assets they calculate in accounting terms. So Sunrail is at the top again because that is the value of all the roads that they've constructed. So that's 354 billion rands worth of assets. The UI is also up there with 124 billion, as is the compensation fund. And then the others are all, mainly you see the top ones are related to infrastructure because you're able to, in accounting terms, do a valuation of assets like that. Even though the skills fund is there and in its past. So that's what we looked at. We said, let's just have a look at who appears all the time. I mean, there's nothing stops the committee from saying we want actually to know about the Nelson Mandela Museum. It's a legitimate, you know, we're just going by largest 20, but maybe there are specific entities that the committee is really interested in knowing more about it. But now comes the challenges. And the first challenge for me is the biggest one. When we come with the quarterly spending on for the departments, we can verify every single number that I've spoken to this morning in the previous presentation. It is in our system. The data that public entities provide, either to the relevant executive authority, so SARS, for example, reports to the Minister of Finance and ends in their quarterly spending to him, as well as to the Treasury, is not on the basic accounting system, the VAS system. So we can't verify a single number. So whatever we bring to the committee will come directly from the entity itself, not verified. And the only time that the data will be verified is at the end of the financial year with the Auditor General audit. So that's our main problem then. We will not know. If Sandra puts down a number, there's no way that that us as public finance in the Treasury can check and verify that number. But we can go on people's bona fides, so that would be overcome like that. The second problem is they don't have a budget program structure like a department. So if I just take any one of the public entities which we report on and we put in the big book, let me just take mark a few years, so let's just take 1 year by health. The National Health Laboratory Service in health. They say that they have programs. They have administration, surveillance and communicable diseases, occupational health, laboratory tests and research. But they don't organize the spending in those programs. So you'll see at the end when I show you, they don't have, even Sunroll doesn't have any program name. So they don't link the programs to deliverable objectives. Whereas in departments, each of the departments organizes their program around the deliverable objectives. And so the spending can only be given in economic classification. So it will not be around programs or sub-programs or projects. And so, for example, when we look at Sunroll later, you won't know how much money is being spent on the N2. You won't know how much money is being spent on the non-toll road from Port St. John to Lusiki City, because that is not how they put up the expenditure. So we can do it, but it's not going to give us the kind of information that we require. The third big item that is a big challenge is when we report on departments, we report on a cash basis. But public entities all use accrual accounting, which is a completely different system. So it's much better, Mr. Topham says, for some things, but not for others. And one of the things that it's not good for is quarterly spending. And the main thing, there are lots of differences, but I just want to bring two to the committee's attention. When you spend in the cash method, you account for the revenue as a department when you receive the money. And you account for the expense when you pay the money. But in accrual accounting, you record the revenue whether you receive the cash or not, and you record the expenditure whether you spent or not. So it's useful in accounting terms, and it's from that point of view if you want to do ratio analysis. But when you want to understand spending, you cannot pick that up. So for example, if a public entity purchased a computer, even if they haven't received the computer, they would have spent the money on the computer. It would be recorded as spent, but there will be nothing at that time to see. So that makes it a little bit more complicated when you're asking people, if you spent this money, what you spent it on, and they're unable to tell you, you might be very angry, but it's the way that the accounting system works. The second thing in accrual accounting that also complicates reporting is when you've purchased a long-lived asset, such as a vehicle or a building or a computer even, you don't immediately write off the full cost as an expense. So even though you have the computer, you're not writing it off in that time. You spread the cost over the expected life of the asset, and that's the depreciation. So for every asset, you've got a number of years over which it is fully depreciated, and then you write the cost over that period of time. So again, we've got a bit of complication there. Then in relation to capital expenditure in public entities, only the portion of the funds that will be spent is recognized as expenditure, and the rest is accounted for on the balance sheet as deferred income. So it's another place where you won't see everything. Then last 2 points, this one's not so much of a problem, but the number and type of public entities do not really enable a comparative analysis. So some of the entities are service delivery agencies, like the National Health Laboratory Services provide services. Then you get regulators, then you get development finance institutions, and you get social security funds, all very different in relation to what they do. So to try and do a comparison like we do when we put them all together is actually not as useful. And then there's one set of entities that operate on a different financial year completely. So those are the water boards, and they operate on the municipal financial year from July to June and not on the April to March. So it's not so problematic. But we just have to remember this. So my first suggestion from public finance is that we focus on the Schedule 3A public entities as a starting point, because they mostly funded through transfers from departments. So we can see immediately the museums are getting practically 99% from their money as a transfer from arts and culture. In fact, 15 public entities received 75% of total transfers in 2015-16. 14 of them were 3As, and only one was a 3B, and that was the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa, PRASA. We've suggested that we look at entities with large surpluses or deficits. We also suggested that we look at entities with largest expenditure assets as a start. And then this is just a selfish reason, Chair, and the committee can discount this. There's 6 chief directors, and we want at least one entity in each of the 6. But I mean, the committee can decide otherwise. So, for example, in Mark's section, he would, even though he's only got how many entities left? About 8. I've got 50. But I want him also to have one in the list. So because we need to do the exercise, because it's the first time for us. So that's just a selfish reason for us. But the committee can say, no, we actually want all those museums, Julia. The Nelson Mandela Museum is going to be our first entity.
But I can see excitement also.
Yes, now, ma'am, I think we've realized too that if you are transferring 114 billion rand in the first quarter to other entities, you should really get to know more about what they do with the money, notwithstanding the complications.
So there's alignment of thinking on the work done with the entities.
So we want the committee to tell us which entities we should start with in quarter two, and then how fast does the committee think we can get to all 203. Because I'm just thinking, Mr. Kwabaza, I didn't even report on 40 departments. You're going to have to schedule the committee meeting over a weekend, ma'am. I'll start on Saturday morning with the department, and then I'll do the 203 entities in Saturday afternoon and the whole of Sunday. So this is part of the problem. We must cover all of them, but it's just going to take us a lot of time. So our proposal, and I mean you can reject this completely, is we looked at all of those things that are put up in the front about the assets and the transfers, and we thought that these 15 we should bring for quarter two. We thought 15 would be a management number. And we chose them for various reasons. We chose SASA, well that's in Mark, so then Mark could have one. No, I think you've only got one. Yes, two. Yeah. But because SASA is also a topical public entity. For the similar reason, the INESPAS, National Student Financial Aid Scheme, SARS, South African Revenue Service, the South African National Road Agency, the National Skills Fund, then legal aid we chose because that would give my colleague that does protection services one, National Health Laboratory Services, because I think there are some big issues there in terms of they an agency of government, but government is not paying them in their disputes. Then PRASA, because it's the one of the only three Bs, so we get a sense of how a 3B can also work. The National Empowerment Fund, because that's an interesting entity. It is the entity that makes loans to try and get more black businesses, startups going. Then South African National Parks, the National Research Foundation, South African Tourism, that would all be in the economic services portfolio, so Owen's portfolio. Then the Road Accident Fund, because they have got huge issues in terms of the amount of money that they owe people. The same with the Compensation Fund, and then the Unemployment Insurance Fund is one of the ones that has quite huge surpluses, so also to understand those. So if I've looked at this correctly, it will be two in MARC, one in protection, and then I think I've got four, Owen's got four, and Ulrika's got two. So that's the 15 that we thought. But I will, as I said, the committee will get from Darren the full list of the 203, and you are absolutely fine to pick whichever ones you want. We just thought that would be a good start. So, maybe if the committee wants us to help in the deliberations, we could schedule another meeting where we come and talk through not the list, but what the report looks like. So the report, when you're busy with public entities, they are very, very different from departments. And they've got three parts, depending on the entity you select. So the first part is where they align their revenue with spending performance. That is called the income statement, or some people call it the statement of profit or loss, or the statement of financial performance. So that would be the first part, and I'll show you what that looks like. I've used Sunral as an example. Then the second part is the cash flow statement, and mainly we use this for entities like Sunral and Prasa, which is why we put them on the list. And so you get cash flows from operating activities, which gives you the operational revenue and expenditure. You get cash flows from investing activities, because public entities are allowed to invest their surpluses according to their investment policy. So you get capital expenditure and revenue there, and you get cash flow from financing activities, and that would be the loan repayments and the drawdowns. And then the third part of the report covers financial position, or what is commonly referred to as the balance sheet. And here, especially for large infrastructure entities, so again, Sunrail and Prasa would be up there, the social security funds like the UIF or the Comp Fund, and then the development finance institutions like the DBSA or the National Empowerment Fund. So I've used Sunrail as an example just to show you how the reports come in from the public entities.
Sorry, I just want to check. I know your hand was up. Was it? talking to honorable member Shopestone. Was it up or on a particular issue as a follow up or on the presentation? Okay. Maybe I should allow this one.
Thank you. I was just wondering where is SAA? That is something that the country is worried about. And should be seen to the end of this committee. Thank you.
All right. I think you must take note of this. Remember, we're still going to discuss which ones. Ne? You've just given us a list so that as a committee can then we need, yes. But when we discuss on which ones do we really want work done on, we can then add those that we think need to be added and subtract those we think we must be subtracted from the list that we were given. We can't start afresh, there's no time. 18 months is a very little time. So we should be conscious of the time effect.
Sorry, Chair. I just thought that if we're going to ask the department to work on certain specific ones for us, and they're going to send us those reports. Is it not possible that on that particular day we also call those entities together with them so that when we're interrogating them, we've got clarity here, and then we can get clarity on exactly our relevant questions.
Actually, why I didn't want to give Honourable the opportunity, I wanted to avoid us discussing the process matter now. Remember, we're still getting the presentation, and then at the end, obviously, we've got to take decisions. That's where then all these other things can come in, all these other good inputs can come in. I really think they're good inputs, but so that for recording purposes as well. Okay. Thanks, Julie. I have a problem with calling you, Julie.
Yes, no problem.
Miss Brian Maran.
Okay, so when all of the entities on a quarterly basis submit a quarterly report to the executive authority to whom they report. So SANRAL, for example, will send this to the Minister of Transport. And they also send this report in to the Treasury. So that's what I'm saying, Chair. Even though we've chosen, we thought those 15 made sense, we've got information on all of them. So you can, it doesn't matter which one you pick, yeah, you can choose the one that you pick. And we will then collate it in a particular way. But what I just wanted to show the committee is that unlike the report that we do on departments where we show you, where you first of all, you have the entire chapter in the book for the year, so you know exactly the projects that the department is intending to do, you know what the policy proposals are going forward, you can get more detailed information in the thick book. The entities are a very truncated set in the book, so it's not as if you get the same level of detail. And secondly, as I said, even though when we ask them to tell us about their programs, they never report. When they never report on programs. So if we've taken an end of year one, just to have a set of numbers that I know are real. So I've taken this from the annual report 2015-16. So if you just to look at the items, you see they don't talk about programs, they talk about revenue, they talk about other income, expenses, losses for the year. Even on the cash flow, they talk about cash flow receipts, purchase of property, sale of property, payments of debt management. Even when they list their assets, they say non-current assets, current assets, equity. So there's no programs. None of us, if we just looked at those three things, would be able to say how much money was spent on the housing improvement program or the N1. And so that is the main difficulty, is that what we would then need to do with the committee is to get the accountants, obviously, to come along with us to explain what does this all mean. And what will make you think that the SANRAL has done well or they're doing badly? What would we need to look for? And so I think then that is a secondary exercise. We first need to choose the ones, and then we need to come and take you through how would you know, because it's calculations that we would have to do some analysis on these numbers. And then I don't know, maybe Honourable Sheikh Imam is correct, is to get the entity at the same time, because then the questions around the project would be better answered by them, and when we invite them we could say, even though we've got your figures just in terms of using economic classification, we'd also like you to tell us about how much you're spending on these projects. I don't know, many that would be helpful.
Okay.
So that's what. So unlike the report that we give you on the departments, you would get three statements like this per public entity: the financial position, the cash flow, and the statement of profit or loss on a quarterly basis. So we would have projections and where they are. So I didn't want to put one of them in here. Because then it may look bad, and I'm not going to explain, so that's why I took the financial year, something that is already in the public domain. Because these documents will be in the public domain on the website. I don't want to put any of the entities at a disadvantage. So thanks.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sure the honourable members will agree with me. We just listened to a very interesting presentation on the entities, but also I must thank the members for their wisdom when it came to a decision that we also received them, so that we can be able to check if we cannot monitor and do our oversight on a quarterly basis to bring down the level of deviations, financial deviations that we read about, or sometimes unauthorized expenditure which is misinterpreted for corruption, you know. But I think we have a role to try and find a solution also as a committee to ask it. So here's a very interesting information. I think you are correct in the decision on this presentation. You can also see the presenters also excited, because I mean we want new ways of working. You know? We also want new thinking. We want innovation in our work, so that we can be able to take our work to greater heights. Thank you very much. I'm tempted that we start with the last slide. In our agreed?
Maybe if I can just show you, this, Darren will have this, so it gives you the full list. There's the Schedule 1. Then here are the major public entities. The Schedule 2. SAA, SAX. SABC, the post office, Telkom, they're all in there. And then the threes are all the Boxing South Africa. I like Boxing South Africa. I just want to run through so you get a sense. They are, I think the committee will be quite surprised to see what kind of entities
okay.
actually are.
Okay.
So that's one, ma'am.
Let me stop you just there, ma'am. Firstly, we have time constraints, ma'am, but already there's work before us that we need to interrogate. And I agree with you. If there is a need for a special meeting, ma'am, where you can take us, but
yes,
when you look at the 18 months, and you look at the number of departments that we have to do oversight over, and then also the entities. I think we will have to identify those that we want to start with, because coming to the entities, it will be for the first time that we do our work in the manner in which we want to. So, and you must start slow, then, and then, yeah, so we can't do everything. You know, we start with the first ones that we think warrant our attention, and then we can then grow from there, or build up from there. So I think it's very
interesting, and we really appreciate the presentation and the good work that has been done. Shall we then interrogate the report?
Yes. Let's
start with the first, the last one. You're done with this presentation, yes.
The only thing I wanted to do was to just show the committee the documents that we'll also give to them on the I think the committee has an A3 sheet. The trends in understanding for those three financial years from before, so you get a sense of whether the departments that underspend are the same ones for the same reasons. So that's that. Then I've also, because I don't think the HRBP for each department is in this book, but that is not useful, you know, having the book. So I've put them all together in a similar document, which I will also give to Darren. It's not stuff that you don't know. It's in the book, but that's in case you want to know more about the personnel. And then I wanted to give you a verbal report on the public entity closing down, merging issue that you asked me the last time. So if I just do that, then I'm done, and then we can
take
all the
questions.
No, that's just a verbal, quick verbal thing. So
let's take this quick verbal one, but I know I actually said we must proceed with this one, but because you've done the work, let's give you credit for your hard work, and then listen to this verbal one, and then allow members to interrogate.
So in the previous financial year's budget, the 2017 MTS, the Treasury undertook an exercise with DPME looking at all those public entities and asking ourselves the question, could we not, if they're doing similar things or they're duplicating things, could we not close down, merge some of them, just to make everything more efficient so we release resources for other things. We had done some work on that. We had made some suggestions. That had to go to Cabinet because that is not a technical decision. And unfortunately, in last year's budget, Cabinet didn't approve any of the suggestions that had been made. Yeah. So they had said, no, we've got a bigger project, the big restructuring of state-owned companies. But that was the Schedule 2s. We were more focusing on the Schedule 3. So for example, I mean, Mark can explain in more detail, we took something like the National Development Agency, the NDA in social development, and we said they spend so much of their money on administration, why don't they just become part of the department? Then they could release some of that administration money to be used for actual projects. But there's resistance, and so unfortunately the NDA is still existing, and they want to do work in each district. So, but it's not something. It's because they set up our legislation. The only way they can be reformed is via legislation. So this year we've raised that issue again. But it doesn't look as if there's an appetite for closing down, merging, getting rid of duplication. But we'll be able to give the committee more information when the budget process is over. So when we come for the second quarter report mail, I will have a written, I'll be able to have written up something on the project. But because you asked me the last time, I think that we've done it. So thanks.
So there's work done. I think that there's some. Is there a concept document developed on the restructuring or merging of the SOEs? Not yet.
There is a cabinet resolution on that, and then I think there's an IMC, an interministerial committee, and a technical committee that supports that. So that could be possibly one set of people. If the committee wanted to know more about that, that you could call. But on the 3A's, as I said, the cabinet didn't approve any of our suggestions.
I think you gave us information that we indeed really wanted to get through your department. Thank you so much. Honourable members, can I allow you now intervention or interrogation of the report? Do you want us to do both or start with the first one or second? Or because we don't, yeah, because of time constraint, okay. Let me then allow you then to ask questions on both reports, on all the reports that we received. All right, number one, it will be Honourable Member Imam. Number two, Honourable Member Shopestole. Honourable Member Nukwanyane. And then, okay, in that order, I'll take a second round. Honourable Member Gwabaza. All right.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to be recused as soon as my questions are answered because I want to go to the other meeting. But thank you very much. And thank you very much, Chair, for that presentation and enlightening us on what is actually happening in terms of these entities. But let me first of all ask, and I think one of the reasons why we actually alluded to earlier on of trying to get those particular entities here when you give us these reports is because, you know, we can do one of two things. We can listen and do nothing, or we can listen and do something about it. And the point is, there's no point in listening to all these reports, very valuable information, and doing very little or nothing about it. And sorry, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. With all the structures that we have in place, all the monitoring and evaluation processes we got, it's just not working. Really, it's not working. And so it seems like that some of the work has got to be done by departments like ourselves. And that is why, you know, I've got some relevant questions. If you look at, there were lots and lots of challenges in terms of your reporting on CETA itself. And I'd like you to tell us, what do you do in an instance like this where you find on many of these entities, CETA is the one that is responsible either for the underspending or whatever it is, including like you've got the Department of Public Works. What is the process that you follow into trying to correct this? Or is it within your mandate or not? Or like I said earlier on, maybe it should come back to us so that we can call them in here together with you. And because I think what we are saying, we want to eventually get to the root cause of the problem and eliminate that problem once and for all. So it's not a repetition of year in and year out, because that is what we're having. You're going to give us a report, you're going to go away, you're going to come back next quarter, you're going to give us a report. It's not really helping us in terms of that. Now, a lot of what you're finding is monies have not been transferred or have not been used because service level agreements have not been signed. And now, I want you to tell me, where does the strategic planning comes in? Because my understanding is this, that they come with the strategic plan. They come with this budget proposals of this is what they want. And it is based on this that we release these monies. But the moment that monies are now made available, then they're running out. It's still that they, to get this done, get done, and in the meantime, they can't spend the monies. And like we said previously, is that they come into the last quarter and then they start doing what we call fiscal dumping. So, why, and I think you did allude to that, that some of you are not really, not, why is it? What do you believe is the problem that again and again we are having these problems where they are not... Now, a very serious concern for me is, you know, with the HIV and AIDS to the NGOs, you know, with the stats that over 2,000 young girls, 15 to 24, being infected on a weekly basis, and the serious challenges we're having with HIV, AIDS, and tuberculosis, and if monies are not used, I mean, it's really, timelessly, because for me, the HIV program is an ongoing program to be able to deal with this matter. But here, once again, we see that there's a serious problem, and monies are not actually being spent again. Now, the other, you know, one of the other major concerns for me is under two things. That first of all, it's land reform. And again, the argument is that there's a delay in identifying owners and things. But surely, man, I don't know where this comes from, to be honest with you. I really don't know. We've had many, many people complain about the fact that the process of land reform and payment are slow. And I can't understand, you made this visible, why they can't accelerate and do something about that. Trading industry, 59% underspending. And also you're talking about manufacturing incentives. What a serious problem, because time and time again we said one of the main areas of creating jobs in the country is the manufacturing industry. We even suggested go and create industries in more rural areas, man, give them special incentives, but where you can't even spend, you know, what you've actually got. But I know you've given us a lot of data, and I'm going to stop you, but this is the last one. Is it possible that you can also, would that give us, so when we call these people in to the chair, if we've agreed, repeat offenders year in and year out, which are the culprits that are repeatedly doing the same thing, either unspending, not prepared, haven't signed agreements, not spent their money. If you can give us that, so maybe we want to, I think we may have to spend a weekend here, Saturday, all of Saturday, so we don't have to go home and spend the Sunday. Interrogate every one of them and get to the root problem, and then maybe suggest people where there should be consequences. I'm going to stop there for now, Chip.
Okay. Just a reminder, maybe it's actually me. I should have said, can we come in on WT second question? Because they can't account for these deviations, the over and the under expenditure. They are here to give us information on those departments that have deviated from the PFMA. So this is the information we need then to prioritize departments. I think the repeat offenders, you know, that information can help us there to prioritize those departments that must come and appear before us using this information.
Sorry, Chair, I now understand that. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But remember, Treasury is the one that generally appropriates those funds. Treasury is the one that receives those reports. Treasury is the one that gives us guidance. And I'm asking, based on that guidance that you're giving us, there are a lot of these people here that have talking about service level agreements on this and that and that, and these are repeat things that are happening. So where do you come in when people are asking and say, but hold on, the same thing happened last year, the same thing happened there. Where do we come up to be able to? So that is where actually I'm going on. Thank you.
All right, next, to our Honourable Member Shopespole.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just one. SAA, I think that is the most important one. You know, as an appropriation committee,
okay, thank you, Honourable Member Snukwanyane. Are you done? Mark? Oh, when I saw this thing off, I thought you were done. All of them. All right. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am saying that as the appropriation committee that appropriates money, we must be seen to be hands on issues that worry society. SAA is the worry of everybody in South Africa today. And we should be dealing with that. We can't be dealing with everything and forget SAA. We're not a research institute. We are a committee of the legislature that is concerned with following the money. So that is why people think that we are not effective. It's only SCOPA. You know, SCOPA is decisive. So we've got to be decisive as a committee. We're not a research institute. We just receive information about everything else. We've got to address what is worrying our people.
All right, thank you. Honorable Member Snukwanyane.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I do want to align myself with my colleague here. In terms of the role of Treasury, I think I must first appreciate the presentation. Lots of good information. But you see, my question would be, the Treasury receives these reports from departments. Is there anything that Treasury says or does about this, or does Treasury just receive the information as is? Because in terms of the report, say there is no, I don't get a sense that Treasury analyzes or rejects some of these things, because, you know, departments will tell you these are the reasons. Because if you look at this sheet here, you see that a lot of them have underspent for 3 years. It's been for 3 years they've been underspending, and are giving, I mean, due to low spending on infrastructure projects, laws, these delays because of this, delays because of this. What is the take of Treasury with regard to this? Because we know that there is the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, which also plays quite an important role. But I would have imagined that Treasury would play some form of oversight role, because the public purse is being handled by the Treasury. I will just look at some of the examples that I want to just touch on. One of them, sorry about that, like when we say delays in filling of post at regional offices and delayed invoices by CETA for computer services and by Department of Public Works for office accommodation, really? And then what is it that is done? Because those departments are supposed to plan. Does that mean that there's no planning in there? I know you may not, you won't necessarily have the responses here, but these are some of the examples of things that one wonders about. And on this slide 24 here, I mean, they spend 798 instead of 430 million, which is higher than expected by 85.3%, really. If you look at that figure, I mean, those are things that I would have thought maybe Treasury would also have some questions about it, as to really 85%, although it says, further says, the public entities forgot a transfer that were due in July, but were erroneously processed in the last week of June. So what? So is that acceptable, that it was erroneously transferred in July, I mean in June instead of July? You know, those are just examples of things that I was wondering, if we don't say anything about it, we just take it that it is erroneously done, so be it. What was the other thing? And then on slide 53, the listing of compliance documentation which is outstanding, arising from outstanding compliance documentation required for processing claims, as well as claims that were non-compliant with guidelines for the respective incentive programs. I mean, yeah, those are some of the things that leave more questions than answers when you go through them.
Okay. Honourable.
Related these things, because I'm just reading examples, and not even on slide 37, I mean, underspending by 80%, I mean, and the reason is that the implementation of non-grid projects and the invoices for the solar water heater program, that was not received as expected. Most of the delays, when you go through this document, you can see these delays are just related to lack of planning. You can't have delays throughout the department. I will end that here. Thank you very much.
Okay. Honorable Member Kwabasa.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I also want to express my worry, just firstly, about what seems to be a distant presence of the National Treasury or a distant authority of the National Treasury, which is the custodian of the National Fiscal. And it's unfortunate that we are speaking to these officials here. We should be saying this to the minister. It cannot be that departments just continue to spend, underspend or overspend, spend last year's, spend this year's or this financial year's money on last year's projects. And it doesn't mean anything to the National Treasury. That, together with the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, those two departments can't plead otherwise. So that by the time Parliament exercises its oversight on all departments, they should do their job as well. Maybe it's the issue of witnesses in legislation, we don't know. But I'm saying something has got to be said to those two to those two ministries in this regard. That's the first thing. Two, Chairperson, now my clarity seeking question. The compensation of employee ceilings, just in terms of the number, the actual number of personnel. Now, who is responsible to ensure that these departments, by the end of the year, as the department reports, have cut down on the numbers, the extra numbers they have, the 1,521 numbers they have. Who monitors what they do? Is it National Treasury, or how are they expected to be to carry out this task? Who monitors it, and so on? Because quite clearly, some departments have chosen to augment their numbers against the ceiling that they have been given. Let's have that, get that clear. Second, I want to use the example of slide 24, I think, where health says that it does not have the capacity to evaluate bids and finalize contracts and for projects, etc., and so on, and ask the question. The office of the Chief Procurement Officer is located in National Treasury. Why does it seem to be playing a very distant role in relation to issues of procurement in the department? When it was set up to assist in this regard. Up to this far, we are not seeing it playing an effective role in assisting departments to do proper tendering processes, evaluating and so on, including looking at the pricing of whatever project, which we were told it has the capacity to do, so that you clamp down on offer pricing by those who do business with government. So I'm using this example of health to generalize the question. Now, linked to that also is the issue of the triple PFA itself. Which does not seem to be effective in opening up space for SMMEs and cooperatives to facilitate doing business with government, and it's located within the National Treasury as well. So it's a challenge that those two instruments, the office and the legislative instrument located in the National Treasury, don't seem to be facilitating the work that they're supposed to be doing. If you could explain these things to us, because if that does not it's not if those two are not functioning well and in collaboration, then the issue of the set asides, for instance, in all the departments, whether you're talking on goods and services or infrastructure, you know, the 30% of goods and services and 60% on infrastructure, is not going to materialize as quickly as is possible. And then that has spillover effects on job creation, on inclusive growth, etc. and so on. The SOEs, as the second document that you gave to us, I would like to understand this. Is the issue of restructuring not arising from the Presidential Review Commission on the SOEs, and therefore the recommendations thereof would inform what then needs to be done? Now, I hear that you are saying probably because of legislation that governs this state-owned enterprises and other entities, of course, and the loose relationship between those entities and the executive authority because of legislation, who then must initiate legislation that facilitates the restructuring? Because the report is there of the Presidential Review Commission, the recommendations are there, President has made pronouncement on the restructuring of state on the enterprises, did indicate that there are those that need to be merged, there are those that might have played their role and they are no longer needed, and hence the restructuring. And now we hear the resistance. What should have happened is somebody initiates legislation to facilitate that. Why is this being stopped? I don't want to ask the question who is resisting between the department and the SOEs themselves, because it could be both for various reasons. Now, unless we deal with this thing,